When do you draft Antonio Brown? We know it's in round one, but just how early? Welcome to the Fantasy Football Today podcast. On Tuesday, February 10th, I'm Adam Azer with Dave Richard and Jamie Eisenberg. And how are you guys doing today?
I'm rocking, dude. How are you?
Awesome. Jamie?
You look handsome today.
Yeah? Well, thank you. I'm wearing a collared shirt. It helps, right?
Well, you know, you're big time in New York City now.
Have you worn the Vanderbilt shirt to?
No, I could never wear a long sleeve T-shirt that says Vanderbilt on it to this office.
Why?
It just wouldn't fly here, man. It's New York City. We don't do things the way you Floridians do it.
So you're saying that you're more professional now than you were when you were here?
Yes. Well, I dress more professionally.
Just
my dress code. That's it.
No, that's it.
Just my dress code.
Has your underwear changed?
Too much information.
I haven't changed my underwear since I've been here. Thank you very much. All right. So listen, fantasy baseball fans, make sure you listen to our fantasy baseball podcast. It's great. And we're doing position previews now. We're getting you ready for draft time. Today we're talking wide receivers, and we'll read some emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. We'll talk Odell Beckham. We got to talk about Demaryius Thomas, who is in Dave's second tier. Also, Jeremy Maglin, you know, everybody. Some sleepers for next year. Joseph Randall's in trouble. We'll talk about that as we look
and
at some news and notes. What?
Adam.
Yeah?
We've got rankings on the site. They are live for 2015. Live.
That's excellent. Dave, are you going to have one of your daydreaming sessions during the podcast?
Oh, you mean like the video that I had with the running backs?
It's very funny.
No, I'm not planning on it.
Everybody check out. Go to the website. What is it in the running back free agency column?
It's in the running back, trying to predict every backfield for 2015.
Okay.
Which is different than the free agency column, and there's a bunch of different like varieties of that as well. So lots of exciting things to whet your fantasy appetite.
We're going to start off with an Odell Beckham question, an email of the day from Rich in New York City. And before I read the email, I want to give you a stat about Odell Beckham. So in his last 9 games, Odell Beckham averaged 18.77 fantasy points per game in standard scoring leagues. If he had done that over 16 games, he would have scored 300 fantasy points.
He's a quarterback.
Yeah. Antonio Brown led wide receivers with 252 fantasy points, which was the most we've seen since Calvin Johnson in 2011 when he had 255. So Odell Beckham would have scored 300 based on that 9-game average. That's unbelievable. So the question from Rich is, dear Benson, Stabler, and Finn.
I looked it up before we started the podcast.
Me too. Law and Order.
Jamie, do you know? Well, now.
Now you know.
Good job.
How much of your auction budget... How much of your auction budget would you be comfortable spending on Odell Beckham next year? 12-team league with 2 quarterbacks, 2 running backs, 2 wide receivers, and then a couple of flex options, whatever. Let's just make it a more general question. $250 budget, how much would you be willing to spend on Odell Beckham?
I would be willing to spend potentially a quarter of my budget, 25% of that. So $6,250?
Right.
It's going to be a lot. And I think wide receivers, you're going to see people splurge for them next year. At least you will until we see more running backs start to kind of show up and have some appeal. Because it's deep at quarterback. You've got your stud tight ends, but after those guys are gone and there's not many of them, you're going to go cheap at tight end. And you could conceivably go cheap at wide receiver. I'm just telling you what I think he'd go for, and I'd be comfortable spending that much on him. But I could see people spending even more because, well, look, you just threw out a stat that suggested that he could have gotten to 300 fantasy points last season.
How much would you spend on Antonio Brown to put things in perspective? If you'd spend a quarter of your budget on Beckham, how much on Brown?
Maybe a little bit more.
Okay.
$5 more. But I'd actually feel better about that because I think Brown is going to stay consistent, whereas Odell Beckham, there's a chance that things could go haywire there. And that would make me sad.
Jamie, what happens in year 2 for Beckham?
He'll be good. He's not going to be that good. You know, as you mentioned, you referenced the way he closed the season. Victor Cruz's health will impact how Beckham does because that will just take targets away from him. teams obviously are going to try and, you know, take him out in some way, shape, or form with their game plans. So he'll be top five good. I wouldn't spend that much on him because I think you're not going to be able to get him. He's going to be probably one of the higher priced guys in auctions because of his highlight reel ability, and I think people will overspend for him. So I think Beckham has upside, but I don't think I'm going to get him in auctions. I'll probably be somebody that tries to bid him up and let other people spend that much money on him.
We both have him ranked as a top five receiver, Adam. Jamie's got him fifth. I've got him fourth.
And you have him in your top tier, too. It's not just being top
right.
five. It's
right.
being in the same tier as Antonio Brown, Dez Bryant, Calvin Johnson, and then it's Odell Beckham for you. More
right.
on your
and
tiers in just a little bit.
Yeah, okay, so I'll say what I was going to say for that.
Email of the day number two is from Nick in Plainville, Massachusetts. He says, "Dear Rob, Tim, and Michael."
I got it.
Oh, Patriots tight ends.
There you go.
"If you could draft one projected top five pick in the NFL draft this year to build a fantasy team around, which one would you take? I'll take Mariota any day. I think Jameis Winston is overrated." Jamie, you get the first crack on this one.
I don't like answering this one until I know where they go. Because
okay.
so much is dependent on
well,
where
fine.
They end up.
Well, fine. You have the number one pick in the draft. And now you can take anybody for any team. Or for.
Well, I mean, I would take Winston then.
I guess it should be for Tampa Bay. You take Winston over Mariota?
Yeah.
I would
Dave?
Too. I would too, but that I wouldn't answer this question that way. I think the two running backs that I love the most are Todd Gurley and Melvin Gordon.
Yeah, those are easily the two best fantasy options coming into the draft
right,
without
so,
knowing where they end up.
Right. Now, Gurley is coming off an ACL injury, so there's some concern there, but I would still call him the one with the most upside. Not to take anything away from Gordon, because he's damn talented too. So you can almost call them 1 and 1A. And to build a fantasy team around either one of those guys where, you know, Gordon, maybe it's a little clearer to see him as a 7 or 8 year running back in the NFL because he's not hurt, versus Gurley, who is hurt but is coming off the ACL injury. Hopefully he got it taken care of the right way and won't have an injury like that again the rest of his career. Probably could get the same 6 or 7 years. They're both very talented.
I actually heard he's rehabbing like Dante Culpepper.
Oh, God.
Well, I
Seriously?
Think the other guy that needs to be
is
mentioned
Amari Cooper.
Is Amari Cooper, yeah.
yeah.
And actually, I heard Rob Rang talking with Jamie Erdahl in one of our videos say that Doriel Green Beckham is regarded in a very similar way on the field as Amari Cooper, which
right,
isn't a surprise if you've seen him play. But he obviously has a lot of off-season, off-the-field issues, too. But,
right, so that's yeah. something to keep in mind.
And Cooper yeah, will
bet,
be a
I
top
I bet he ends
pick.
Up going somewhere between like 27th and 37th in the draft. There might be a team gutsy enough to take him with a first-round pick. He is very intriguing.
Let's do some news and notes. Le'Veon Bell could be suspended 2 games for his DUI arrest last August. We mm-hmm. worried about it a little bit during draft season, Jamie, but now we have to worry about it in the 2015 draft season. So what does that mean for Le'Veon Bell? Let's say he suspended 2 games. Where would you take him?
Top five.
Would you take him first overall?
No. I would take Lacy first overall.
That's interesting. I haven't thought about it yet. But
well,
I think
now's
a lot
the time.
Of it would, a lot of it would have to do with who they have starting in his place and how easily I can draft that person. It's probably going to be somebody. Let's just say, for the sake of the argument, it's Josh Harris. I'm probably looking at my 9th round pick. And it means I've got to lock him up and use him. If it's somebody who's got more appeal than Josh Harris, now we're talking about maybe a 7th round pick, because someone might try and snag him just to get off to a hot start on the season. Also depends on who they play. They might have New England in the first game of the year. That's been rumored as a possible opening game. So it would frustrate me if I had Le'Veon Bell. But I also know that he's just so dang productive that I would not bat an eyelash taking him with an early round pick. It's just a matter of whether or not I would stick with him at first overall.
The New Orleans Times Picayune, which I looked up the pronunciation for. I thought it was Picayune, but I'm still not sure. Reports that Peyton Manning intends to play in 2015. The New Orleans Times Picayune wants to know why Dave has Demaryius Thomas in his second tier of wide receivers. Jamie, I'm assuming
second
you,
tier?
Yeah,
well,
I'm assuming
I mean, he's still a guy I would take with the top 15 pick. I don't know if I'm taking him with a first round pick.
I would. He's my number two receiver.
He did great last year. He was extremely consistent. He just wasn't dominant.
Yes, he was.
I don't know about that. He's pretty dominant.
He had a bunch of games where he scored between 10 and 14 fantasy points. They were good.
What's wrong with that?
Man, he stinks.
You're spoiled by Antonio Brown.
I'm spoiled by Brown, by Beckham. I'm spoiled by Dez. He's still like a top six receiver for me.
He scored more fantasy points than Dez Bryant.
Yeah, he's also going to get paid. He's going to get a huge deal. So is Dez, unless Dez gets the franchise tag and they don't extend him.
So could the Bears.
We'll see. I'm a little nervous about Peyton. Even if he does come back and even if his quad is fine, I am a little jittery.
Well, that's fair, but I looked, obviously, I just went back and I looked at the game logs and how he finished.
Oh, he finished great.
He finished well.
He was double digits in fantasy points like the last 4 weeks of the season.
Yeah, when Peyton Manning was struggling, he was still really good. Emmanuel Sanders wasn't, but he was still really good. How about Dallas running back Joseph Randle, who's been very, you know, very good when he's been used. He's talented, but he got arrested. He was accused of pointing a gun at the mother of his child and having marijuana. And during the season, of course, he was arrested for shoplifting. So if DeMarco Murray...
Perfect cowboy.
Yeah, if DeMarco Murray isn't there, Jamie, can you trust Joseph Randle to be a fantasy stud?
As Adrian Peterson's backup? I mean, look, they're clearly not going to trust this guy to be in a featured role because I don't think he's smart enough to handle it based on what he's shown in his public, I don't know, outbursts is the right thing, his public transgressions, you know, with the choplifting and this latest thing.
Right.
So he's not handling himself as a professional very well. You have to wonder if there's going to be a team-imposed suspension, if there's going to be an NFL-imposed suspension, if something comes down with a domestic violence charge. So there's a lot still to be decided with him. But this probably makes the Cowboys have to rethink what they're going to do with DeMarco Murray because clearly he has done everything that they've asked of him. He was their MVP last year, and he was a very, you know, successful player when given the opportunity, health, great offensive line. So Randle could be good. It's just a matter of I don't think the Cowboys can clearly trust him at this point.
If you're Jerry Jones, do you re-sign DeMarco Murray? And if you do, how much do you give him?
Oh, I'm going to still continue to lowball him just because of the position that he plays. Because there are guys out there, whether it's in the draft or you know, Peterson or
so. Let's
Ray
say free agency. So let's say free agency hits and he gets a deal worth $6 million a year from Jacksonville. Are you matching it?
No,
you're going to let him walk.
Yep.
All right. And there are some owners who feel that way. I actually don't know if Jerry Jones is one of those guys. Now it would be the smart thing to do. To try and keep your running back position cheap. But what do you think you're going to sign Adrian Peterson for? If you're not going to give DeMarco Murray $6 million a year, do you think AP is going to be available
to
you?
I think it comes down to how the whether it's Murray or Ingram or Peterson or whoever the case may be and how they set the market.
Do they spend a first-round pick on a running back too?
Dallas?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think that they...
Well, I mean, that could be an option for them if they let DeMarco go.
Sure. I think that they understand, I would hope so, at least, that they have an amazing offensive line in place. They're going to pay Dez Bryant or franchise him. They have a great quarterback. They have a great, you know, with Dez and Witten and Terrence Williams, they have a very good receiving core. They have to spend money on defense and invest their draft on defense. And so running back to me is not a, as if I'm the Cowboys, is not a high priority. If we can't bring Murray back. Now, Jerry Jones won Super Bowls with a great running back, arguably one of the best in NFL history.
Mm-hmm.
And continuity and consistency with his trio, which is, you know, clearly how Dallas's foundation was formed, is probably something that he looks at and says, I want to keep Dez, Romo, and Murray intact and try and win Super Bowls with them. So we'll see how it all plays out. In terms of Randle, though, if he's a starter in Dallas, you can't overlook him. As a high-end fantasy running back, I just don't expect him to be DeMarco Murray.
I also don't expect him. I don't expect him to be in that position by any stretch.
It would be interesting.
Hey, Jerry Rice, use Stick'Em. I guess this is an old story that has resurfaced, but it was illegal. He shouldn't have done it. He set a bad example for children when he used Stick'Em. Did you guys care about this? Do you guys have a reaction?
Here's my reaction.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say that he's the only one that did that because he's not. And who cares?
Okay, then. I do care about something else. regarding the Super Bowl.
Go ahead, Adam.
And I don't usually get into Twitter feuds with people. I don't care enough to do it, and I respect people's opinions a lot. And I'm not the smartest man. I understand that. But crediting Bill Belichick by saying that his not calling a timeout in the final minute of that game forced Seattle to throw the ball and therefore led to the interception is the dumbest sports argument I can remember. It has zero merit. Seattle had a timeout. If they wanted the clock stopped, they could have done it themselves. If they wanted the clock stopped, it has nothing to do with throwing with that play call. Okay, Bill, I know that was a very convoluted thing I just said there, but Bill Belichick deserves no credit for that. In fact, he made a mistake by not calling a timeout, and he got lucky. So for all of you people who have been arguing with me on Twitter, you are so wrong. I am never relenting on this. And stop being so biased toward the Patriots and Bill Belichick.
There's so many dumb things that happened in that series of or that play.
Well, that was one of them.
The series of decision-making. Well, if I hear Pete Carroll say one more time it was a throwaway down. Sure, it's throwaway down. There's a minute left in the Super Bowl. You're on the goal line. Yeah, we're just going to try something.
Why didn't they take a knee?
That is ridiculous. You're right, Jamie. That is not a throwaway down at all. If you throw an incomplete pass, all of a sudden it's third down and goal. You have two plays to get into the end zone and win the game. You're right, stupid. Right.
Do you think when he says throwaway down, it means that you throw the ball to a place where the defense can't intercept it? Like maybe that's what he meant?
No, the way he was explaining, at least the
was
first,
that it was just the first time a play I heard him just saying, to get to the third down.
We had two more chances to get into the end zone. Is the way he said it after saying it was a throwaway down. We still had third and fourth down. Felt comfortable.
Yeah, that's a pretty bad argument.
I just don't. I mean, granted, he's trying to talk himself out of one of the stupidest decisions in the history of sports, but it's just that it just drives me nuts every time I hear him say it.
Belichick deserves credit for looking through all of Seattle's film and recognizing their bread and butter plays. Mm-hmm. And that's what they called. They called a bread and butter play. I wouldn't expect them to call some random play in the back of their playbook that they haven't used since week three. Every team's got their plays that they're the most comfortable with, and that's one of them.
Right, and when Malcolm Butler talks about how they did that play in practice and he got beat on it and Belichick coached him on how to do it right and then he gets the interception, okay, so you give him credit for that. I got no problem saying he's the best coach, but don't give him credit for his mistakes. He made a mistake at the end of the Ravens game. The Ravens never should have had a Hail Mary, and he made a mistake in the Super Bowl and got away with it. Not to say it would have mattered.
You know what
anyway.
He did? He didn't panic. See, I think a coach kind of panics when they take a timeout in that situation.
I don't. I think the coach is smart. They're down at the, what were they, at the 2 yard line?
Right.
1 yard
line?
They had
the lead.
I know, but it was,
he knew
okay,
that
we thought, did you think?
It was a better chance to push Seattle and force them into a familiar play than it was to stop the clock, potentially let them score. And then they've only got how much time would have been left for Brady to get in field goal position?
Let's say 20 seconds, which Aaron Rodgers did the week before.
No, I think more. I think more than that, because if they had called timeout.
With how many timeouts left? One?
They would have had one. They had two left, and Seattle had one. I mean, if New England calls a timeout and Seattle scores on second down, I think probably about 35 seconds be my guess. I'd have to go back and look. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, 20 seconds is still enough time to do something.
With a very safe environment, there was no weather issues, and one of the best kickers in the NFL, and a quarterback that's been there 100 times.
And another timeout in this scenario, because they had two.
Right.
Yeah. It's not panicking. It's smart. You give yourself a chance to win the game. They got lucky. Wide receiver tiers. Dave, you mentioned in your column that wide receivers, they set a 2013 record with 81,605 receiving yards, and they broke it in 2014 with 82,697, an extra 1,000 there. So
that's a lot of yards, Adam.
What does that mean for the position?
It tells me that teams are still passing more and more, and receivers are getting more and more involved, but it's not – we haven't seen a huge jump in fantasy production from, the elite tier of wide receivers. It's been – we've seen it more with, the supplemental receivers, which sucks because these are guys that – we're never going to feel comfortable starting and only get minimal stats most weeks. But there are more receivers. Think Cole Beasley. Think Danny Amendola. Those kinds of guys. They're starting to get more involved in their offenses, basically. And that's what's helping really contribute to wide receivers having these incredible receiving numbers.
So the top tier for you is Antonio Brown 1, Dez Bryant, Calvin Johnson, Odell Beckham. When would you guys draft Antonio Brown? You know, like how many running backs would you take before him? I know last week Jamie said he'd take Gronkowski over Brown, and Dave said, nope, I'd take Brown over Gronk. But when does he go off the board?
Somewhere between 6 and 9 in a standard league, and maybe 5 and 8 in the PPR.
Jamie?
I'd probably go 7 or 8 standard and 6 or 7 PPR.
He's ridiculously safe and ridiculously productive. If you go back and you look at his last year and a half, he's been money almost every single time.
Is there a safe
way? Last year, he had double-digit fantasy points in 14 of 16 games.
Is there a safe way to predict who the number one receiver is going to be, or is it a crapshoot this upcoming year?
I mean, of the upper echelon guys? Or
right. I mean, there's probably – how many guys do you think have a realistic chance to be the number one wide receiver in fantasy?
Probably 8 to 10.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, so that doesn't make a great case for taking Antonio Brown. You know,
no, you're basing it on track record. You're basing it on Pittsburgh having to throw the ball a lot, which I think they're going to have to do.
Games, that makes it even better.
It does. It really does. And they use him in a number of ways, and there hasn't been a defense out there that's found a way to trip him up.
All right.
Consistently. You look at Cleveland with Joe Hayden, he's killed him. You look at Baltimore with all their scheming and their blitzing and their pressure on the quarterback, he's done very well against them. You look at Cincinnati, they've got corners for days. And Brown does well against them. So he's a guy that defenses pretty much just have to kind of hope to contain.
And yeah, he had 129 catches too, which is amazing.
Right. And I think that's going to continue as well. I mean, that's what you want out of a receiver, is a guy who can make plays and get tons of targets. So
Calvin
to me,
Johnson,
Brown is the definition of that.
Calvin Johnson's entering his 9th season. He's Dave's number 3 receiver. Jamie, is Calvin Johnson a late first-round pick, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think so still. You know, you're counting on him returning to form in an offense, I think, that has to get back maybe a little bit to what it was a couple of years ago. I don't think it will, but it will probably be a little bit in Matthew Stafford's benefit to throw the ball a little bit more because I think he's a volume passer. But Calvin, look, injuries are clearly something that he has to overcome. When he's nicked up, he's not the same guy. And when he's healthy, he's amazing. So, you know, he easily could be without a shadow of a doubt because of his touchdown potential. And so if he's healthy, you get, 15-plus games out of him at 100%, he could be, a very dominant force. So I think you're banking on that more so than what you saw a year ago.
And I'm romanced by that, Adam. Like, I think about a healthy Calvin Johnson and what he's capable of doing. Especially now that there's been a year of tape out on Golden Tate and how dangerous he is. And, I would imagine that Detroit's offensive line will get better. That'll help Matthew Stafford. Maybe Eric Ebron becomes a little bit more of a threat. They do things to kind of enhance their passing offense. And that could make Calvin Johnson all the more appealing. But I'm when I originally did my rankings, he was lower than this. And he was not in my top tier. But it's because of his potential to be the best receiver in the NFL and in fantasy football. That's what keeps him where he is, and that's what keeps him appealing as a late first round pick, knowing that I can go and get a running back or a stud receiver in round 2.
Yeah, he's also older than every other receiver in your first 3 tiers at least.
Right, but that does, how he's going to be 30 next year?
Yeah, he's entering his 9th season.
Right.
And it's not necessarily
an
argument.
I'm not worried about that.
Well, I mean, it's not necessarily an argument against him, but it might be a tiebreaker. I mean, I remember having that discussion with you guys a few months ago in August about Brandon Marshall and saying, well, I'm not necessarily saying that age is the reason he got hurt, but I feel like it's just natural. The older you get, the more likely you are to get injured.
Right.
Why take Brandon Marshall when you can take a wide receiver who's very comparable that might be a few years younger?
Well,
just an argument against
Calvin. For people that don't want to take receivers early, because there are so many good ones.
Yeah,
that you can load.
There
up
really
at,
are.
You can load up at other positions and say, okay, I'll play. You know, not this level, but you could probably get away with it certain weeks. I'll play Cole Beasley for a week or two when he's hot, or I'll play, you know.
Oh, you don't even have to go that far.
But
down
but I'm saying is, you know, if you want to go, you know, three of your first four picks on running backs, or you know, three of your first five, and then just go completely crazy with you know, receivers, because starting in round four, you're going to see guys like Golden Tate and DeAndre Hopkins, and then, you know, getting guys like Moncrief or Jordan Matthews or Jarvis Landry, you know, and then getting those middle round guys and just saying, okay, I'm going to take my chances on this group and hope that two or three of them pop, and then I'll be very good because my running backs are good, my receivers are now good. I may not have Odell Beckham or T.Y. Hilton or Demaryius Thomas, but I have three guys that can compete along with stud running backs and a good quarterback attendant.
Well, we're doing a mock draft later today, and I'm very interested to see the wide receivers that go in like round three, because I know a lot of these guys are going to be off the board. And I guess as we go to the second tier.
Well, you pick where? You pick. I know Dave picks one. You pick where?
I have no idea.
I didn't even know I was picking one, but that's great.
So who are you going to take?
I am going to take Kobe Fleener.
Well, I mean, are you going to take Le'Veon?
I'll take Le'Veon Bell.
Until we find out about the suspension, he's still number one?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I still might take him number one overall, even if he does get suspended.
Because I pick ninth. And so I'm going to be in this, you know, range of, obviously, I hope Gronk falls to me. I don't think it's going to happen. But I can go receiver at that spot. I can go receiver, running back, receiver. I may take Jimmy Graham in round two if he's still there.
Yeah, that's what I would be thinking about if I were you.
You know, so I have a number of different ways to go, and I think this is where the challenge is going to be, as, you know, clearly there's going to be a lot that unfolds this offseason. But when you're picking toward the back end, which is where the receiver conversation starts to come into play, especially two receivers, you know, at what point do you consider taking your first one, and who are you going to be taking him over?
Yeah, well, it's going to be interesting, because if you're picking ninth, the receivers that will be available to you then, I think will be, they won't make it back to you in round two. Like, we're talking about guys like Demaryius Thomas and maybe Odell Beckham. And I see those names, those big brand names, getting snapped up before, what pick would it be, 13th, 16th overall. And it's not to say that the receiver position is going to dry up, because it just won't.
No. But, okay. This is what I'm seeing, Dave. Like, I'm looking at your tiers, and personally, I would be fine with, and I must have, my number one wide receiver be part of your first or second tier. Like, looking at your top two tiers, one of those guys to me has to be my number one. If I go to tier three to get my number one wide receiver, I'm not going to feel great about it.
Right, because we're talking about the receivers in the third tier are Emmanuel Sanders, Kelvin Benjamin, Randall Cobb, and Mike Evans.
And the receivers in the second tier are Jordy Nelson, T.Y. Hilton, Demaryius Thomas, A.J. Green, Julio Jones, and Alshon Jeffrey.
All perfectly good number one receivers.
Now, what I want to see is where those guys go. Are they going late second round? Are they leaking into the third round? Because if I have like a top,
they'll be second round picks, Adam.
Okay. Well, there's
most
a lot of guys though,
because people won't be able to stomach the type of running backs that are left in round
two. Yeah, but people panic though, and they take quarterbacks, and they're going to take some of these running backs.
I agree. I mean, we're talking about 10 wide receivers in your top two tiers, so I just want to see where they go. I probably, you know, if I have a top six pick, I'm probably going running back, wide receiver. That's just
my guess. I would be thrilled if any one of those wide receivers made it back to me at the swing in rounds two and three. So I'd get Le'Veon. You're telling me I can start my team with Le'Veon Bell and Julio?
There's
or
no
Le'Veon
Julio
Bell or Alshon Jeffrey?
Well, you have Julio too low, but there's no way Julio's making it back to you.
Okay, so who do I have too high, Jordy or T.Y. Hilton?
You may get Hilton.
I would be pleased as punch. I would dance outside in the rain.
You won't get Jordy. You won't get Thomas. You may get A.J. Green or Hilton.
Oh, that would be amazing.
And Jeffrey. I mean, those guys will fall back toward the end of round two.
Okay, so do you think I've got a chance of getting two of those guys?
Sure.
Well, now I'm just...
I think so, because you got to assume that...
Break out the feather boas, baby.
Somebody's taking Aaron Rodgers in the first two rounds just because that's the natural way things go. You have to assume that there's probably going to be 10 running backs off the board. And then the two tight ends. So that's how many players?
That's 13.
13, carry the two. I have no idea.
That's 13.
You're saying 10 receivers, so that's 10 receivers, 12 running backs, so that's 22.
That's 22 right there, yep. Plus two tight ends.
So knock it out.
That's not even including a quarterback. So someone will fall to me, whether it's
one
of the top 10.
I wouldn't be surprised if you can go Bell, Hilton, Alshon.
In a 12-team league, that would be a
then you're going to probably need. You're probably going to need two quarterbacks going off the board, which I think is going to happen. I think Luck and Rodgers are going to get taken in the first two rounds.
It may. I mean, and don't be surprised if it's more than that. I mean, somebody may take Breeze, somebody may take Brady, somebody may take one of those two guys, you know.
And the best part is that you can still wait to get your next receiver. Like, right. it's so deep, Adam.
But where, like, I don't see a huge drop-off from Tier 1 to Tier 2. Jamie, I'd love to get your thoughts on that. I do see a big drop-off from Tier 2 to Tier... a drop-off, a noticeable one, I guess. Not big. From Tier 2 to Tier 3.
I would say the first tier of guys is Brown, Demaryius, Calvin, Dez, Beckham, Jordy, Julio, and Green. To me, T.Y. Hilton's not a top tier.
First-round consideration guy.
Right. I think all those other guys...
What about Alshon?
I don't necessarily designate it as a first-round guy. I designate it as a first two-round guy.
What about Alshon?
Alshon is in the same conversation with Hilton.
So Hilton, you know,
Alshon might be like a round two, round three. That might be a guy perfect. For
I don't think you're going to see
the guy who takes number one
in any 12-team draft. I don't see Alshon going in the first two rounds.
All right, but here's the thing: like, why not T.Y. Hilton? If you look at the season that he just had, he did get hurt late in the year, right? I mean, he almost missed the Dallas game.
Yeah.
So that I think affected his numbers. They had nothing to play for in Week 17, but weeks 1 through 3, he did very little. In the middle, though, weeks 4 through 15, he averaged 14 fantasy points per game, which was basically as good as Dez, Demaryius, all those guys. Put him right in that discussion.
Hilton's great. The touchdowns need to come up a little bit. You know, I'd like to see him score a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that the additions that they're making at their, you know, and by additions, I mean Moncrief also playing more. But, you know, with Moncrief being on the field, he's a little bit more of a dynamic playmaker than Wayne and Knicks, with Daron Carter joining the fold. A healthy Dwayne Allen is going to take away a little bit from Hilton as well. There's just a lot of weapons there. And so, I mean, Hilton's amazing. You know, I don't want to sound like I'm taking anything away from him, but I also think that he's a guy that can get a little bit lost because Luck, I don't think, is going to focus on him the same way some of these other guys get the focal points of their quarterbacks.
I will say this, Adam. These tiers were made before Daron Carter signed. And now that he's there, and I'm intrigued by him. I'm not ready to call him, you know, the next Odell Beckham, but I would draft Daron Carter in a fantasy league. And that might push T.Y. Hilton not down a tier for me, but down within that second tier for me.
All right, let's go to the third tier then. Emmanuel Sanders, he was the number 7 wide receiver in fantasy. And look, he finished very slowly because Peyton Manning did. But if not for that, he would have absolutely been a legit elite wide receiver, right? First 11 games, he averaged 13.45 fantasy points per game in standard scoring leagues. Over 16 games, he would have been 5th at wide receiver if he had averaged that. So Kelvin Benjamin, Randall Cobb, and Mike Evans. Sanders, Kelvin, Randall Cobb, Mike Evans. Thoughts on this group?
I like Cobb the best, depending if he comes back to Green Bay. And I would put him in the same conversation. I would actually put him probably just behind Jeffrey and Hilton. But he's right there, you know, with how Aaron Rodgers gets him going, the role that he plays for that team. You know, it's obviously contingent on him coming back to Green Bay.
He had a career year last year, and I have a hard time believing he can exceed that.
Oh, he would have been on. He was on pace for 100 catches before he got hurt.
Right.
Before, so.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, he's right there.
Well, does it matter to you guys that Randall Cobb was tearing it up in the red zone, which was a little bit unusual? He had the most red zone touchdowns among wide receivers in the NFL.
No, that's
10.
A good thing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
I'm fine.
But does it come down? You know, is it a little fluky? He said 25 red zone targets, which was 4th most at the position.
I think that depends on what kind of progress they make at tight end.
Mm-hmm.
And if they decide that Richard Rodgers needs to be a bigger focal point of the offense, that to me, that's the guy that takes away the most from Cobb potentially. And this is assuming that Green Bay keeps him. There's a chance he does get free.
I worry about Kelvin Benjamin. He caught basically half of his targets. That's not very good. He finished pretty weak, except for the 2-touchdown performance at Seattle in the playoffs. But really, like, you look at his last 7 games, he had 2 good ones. That includes 2 postseason games. And I liked him because of all the opportunity he got, but we were sort of talking about it with Greg Olsen. If Carolina adds somebody, that's going to hurt Olsen, but I think it's probably going to hurt Benjamin too, although he might see less double teams. What do you guys think about Kelvin Benjamin in his second year?
I like him a lot, and I think I hope to hear about him working on his hands this offseason.
Of course you're going to hear about that. And of course. But it doesn't mean it's going to work.
It doesn't mean it's going to work, but I think there's a chance for him to grow and develop and go from, you know, this raw rookie out of Florida State into where he was forced into a role in Carolina that worked out pretty well for him, into a guy that could be a real game wrecker for the Panthers. And I would almost say the Panthers are counting on that from him. And
Jamie?
They need him to be that guy. So I have no problem calling him a super high quality number two fantasy receiver and a potential number one fantasy receiver.
Oh, well, actually,
I think he's got that potential, even with Cam not being the most accurate quarterback and with him potentially catching 50 to 55% of his targets.
All right, Jamie, I'll ask it in this sense here. Obviously, Odell Beckham, if I'm going to ask you which year two receivers is going to have the best year, we'll say Beckham. But of the next group, Benjamin and Mike Evans are in the third tier for Dave. And then the first guy in his fourth tier is Sammy Watkins. So between Benjamin, Evans, and Watkins, who do you see making the biggest jump in year two?
Well, Watkins has the chance to make the biggest jump, but the quarterback situation is the biggest key for him. So in terms of jump, Watkins was so inconsistent last year.
Sure.
But I think Benjamin has the chance to be the best of that trio because of his quarterback. You know, Mike Evans still has an unsettled quarterback situation as well. And if it's a rookie in Winston, you know, there's going to be growing pains there for him. The thing I'm excited about Benjamin is there really was a lack of an offseason between Benjamin and Cam last year because Cam was hurt. So you give Cam training camp on top of mini camp, on top of off-season workouts together. You know, they spent a lot of time together last year, at least that was the reports, of Benjamin trying to get to know Cam and vice versa. But they didn't get a lot of opportunity to you know, do things on the field. They may have played catch, but Cam wasn't really moving around because of the ankle. So I think the off-season is going to be so huge for him, as much so as it will be for Evans and Watkins because of their quarterback situations. But Benjamin getting to know Cam even more on the field and not just doing it on the fly, because even go back to last year, week one, Cam didn't play. So there's a lot that still has to happen for Cam Newton. Benjamin in regards to Cam Newton.
Fourth tier of wide receivers, Sammy Watkins, Jeremy Maclin, DeSean Jackson, DeAndre Hopkins, Torrey Smith, Roddy White, Brandon Marshall, and Golden Tate.
I don't like this tier.
You
there's names
huh?
in it that I would be fine with, but I might try and avoid. I would try and settle for one of these guys at like value later in the draft rather than target any of them. And that includes Maclin.
Dave, this tier reminds me of the tier of wide receivers that burned me so badly in fantasy in 2014. The Fitzgerald, Crabtree,
Garcon
group. Yeah, they were so bad, so many busts. I don't know. I think there's more youth in this group. Andre Johnson was another one in that one. There's more youth in this group this year compared to last year, but it's easy to love every wide receiver, but some of them are going to be busts. You see this tier as potentially being that one?
Potentially. Watkins, it really depends on who his quarterback is and, you know, and whether or not Rex wakes up and realizes that it's okay to throw the football. If Macklin's back in Philly, like I think he will be, that's great, but who's his quarterback going to be? DeSean Jackson, everybody knows what the story is with him. DeAndre, his quarterback situation needs to be figured out in Houston. Torrey Smith needs to do more than just score touchdowns with Baltimore. But I think there's a chance that with Mark Trestman there that could happen for Torrey Smith. White and Marshall are definitely getting up there in age. They have potential. I'm looking for them at value picks. The guy that I actually think I might have the last name in this tier is the one who I probably have ranked the worst, and that's Golden Tate, who showed just tons last year. When Calvin was out, he was a stud. When Calvin played, not quite as
good,
certainly not quite as consistent.
It seems completely dependent on that.
Yeah, and maybe that's why Golden Tate is where he is, but I still like the talent and I like the offense, and that's why maybe I've got him a little too low.
All right, Jamie, what are your thoughts on Dave's fourth tier?
Well, I would put Julian Edelman in this tier because I think he's proven himself, certainly the way he closed last season, the postseason. He's become Wes Welker, what we knew Wes Welker was, you know, before he left in that role for the Patriots. So to me, Edelman should be in this group for sure. But I think, you know, DeSean Jackson really surprised me last year. And I think if they can get their quarterback situation settled, he'll have a nice season. Hopkins, as Dave said, is quarterback dependent, but he showed so much. And I think he's only going to continue to get better. Next year is his third season. So, you know, as we saw from T.Y. Hilton, who had a very good second year, DeAndre Hopkins could take that leap in his third season. So I'm excited about him. Dave made a great point. I think it's very accurate about Mark Trestman's influence on Baltimore. If Torrey Smith stays, which they didn't really give him a very good contract extension. So if he walks, that will clearly, I think, depend on where he ends up. But if he stays there, Joe Flacco,
they need
him. Can really take advantage of Trestman. And I think Flacco is going to be one of those quarterbacks that surprise us in 2015. And Torrey Smith's going to have to be a part of that if that happens. White and Marshall can go one of two ways. They could be exactly what you said, Adam, Larry Fitzgerald and Andre Johnson, as two guys who, you know, everybody's going to draft them. But they could also bounce back. White, not so much, because I think White was pretty good last year when he was healthy. But if Marshall's healthy, he's going to be a great value pick in round 4 or 5 if he's there and plays to Brandon Marshall type level, which I think he can. I think I got nervous about him with the whole HBO thing last year, and I think he got a little too distracted. And I think I would hope that the injury refocuses him a little bit, because he's coming to the end of his career. I think he knows that. He's getting passed over now by Alshon Jeffrey as the number one guy. We'll see how he responds to all that. And if he can come back and have a good year, you're going to be thrilled that you got him in this spot. And I think the thing is, you know, with Fitzgerald and Andre last year, they were creeping into the third round a little bit. And they just got too expensive because people were buying into the name. And we fell for this. I mean, we had them in our top 15, top 20 for sure, but top 15 receivers were right about where Fitzgerald and Andre Johnson were. And I think, you kind of take that approach with White and with Marshall, that you don't have to reach for these guys. If they land to you in the right spot, could still be quality number two guys, not necessarily number ones.
We had a really good stat about DeAndre Hopkins on our website, and I think it was from the Houston Texans website, actually. And I think Hopkins is going to be like in many people's breakout columns next year. All right, first two seasons in the NFL, 128 catches, 2,012 yards, 8 touchdowns. Andre Johnson's first two seasons in the NFL.
Is that where he plays?
Yeah, 145 catches, so 17 more, 2,118 yards, basically 100 more yards, and 10 scores. That's only 2 more touchdowns. Very, very similar numbers in the first two seasons of Hopkins' career and Andre Johnson's career. And I think we did. Yeah, I mean, Jamie, you said next year's his third year, so there were some signs this year. We'll be looking at who the quarterback is, but he's obviously a talented guy.
To be honest with you, I don't really think it matters. If it's the two guys, I guess there's three if you want to throw Savage in there, but Fitzpatrick's still under contract. I think they're going to make a push to re-sign Ryan Mallett. And you look at what Fitzpatrick did for him. He did exactly what Fitzpatrick does. He focuses on one guy, and he just peppers him with targets. And I know Andre Johnson was there and had a ton of targets, but, Hopkins was his guy. And I think if he's back again, I wouldn't be afraid of DeAndre Hopkins at all.
Then just tell me, I don't want to go through any more tiers here. You can read the story on the website, but tell me some other wide receivers that you might think about drafting later, with excitement. You'd be excited to draft in the mid to late rounds of your draft.
I really like Cooks.
Yeah, he was going to be one of the names that I would bring up.
Cooks?
Why do you like him?
Well, I mean, what he showed last year, we saw flashes. And Marcus Colston may not be back. They're talking about having to restructure his contract. So if he balks at that and they get rid of him, that's only going to make Cooks that much more appealing. But even with Colston there, they need somebody to just do something different. You know what Jimmy Graham does. You know what Colston and Kenny Stills are capable of. And look what Stills did once Cooks went down. He played that role. They just need somebody to have a little bit of excitement playing the slot, doing some different things, getting some carries. He's a difference maker. He was Lance Moore and Darren Sproles for them last year. But I think at the receiver spot makes that a little bit more exciting, a little bit better, because you can do some different things down the field. So
you could almost take the entire 2014 NFL draft with wide receivers and use that as your guide, not necessarily in the order they were picked, but those names as guides to take with breakout potential. There are so many names. Cooks is one of them. Jordan Matthews is one that I'm just over the moon for. Moncrief in Indy, Martavis Bryant in Pittsburgh, Jarvis Landry in Miami, Allen Robinson in Jacksonville. John Brown, I probably have ranked too low. I've been watching a lot of Cardinals film this week, and he could be a real game wrecker. Honest to God, I think he's got.
That's the second time you've said game wrecker, Dave, and I don't know that I've ever heard you say that.
Oh, I'll stop saying it then.
No, you don't have to. This could be your new thing.
And then, Devontae Adams in Green Bay, depending on what happens with Cobb, I think he's got a chance.
What about Jacksonville?
Your boy Marquise Lee
in
Jacksonville.
What about Blackman, though?
I'm waiting until he comes back. It'll be interesting with him, but I think Robinson is their most sure-handed receiver, assuming he's healthy. Sure.
I'm looking forward to see, assuming Denver does the blueprint of letting Welker leave and Cody Latimer.
Yeah, that's another
second
year guy.
How he can do.
Cool. Emails, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Next week, I'm going to be down in the Fort Lauderdale office podcasting in person.
Crap.
With Dave. Oh, why?
I didn't mean to say that. I'm sorry.
I thought maybe there was a technical issue on your end, Dave. You scared me. We're going to review our mock draft that we're doing at 2 p.m. today. So probably after most of you hear this
podcast. Are we allowed to tweet out picks during the draft, Jamie?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So people who are listening to this podcast now can go to our Twitter feeds at Dave Richard, at Jamie Eisenberg, at Adam Azer, Cat Lover. And
that's
not
true.
Oh, okay. The Cat Lover part is not true. They can go and find out who we took. The results are already there. In
by the way,
internet world for you.
You know I have a cat now, right?
You do?
Really?
Yeah.
I'm a soothsayer.
I now have a cat. My girlfriend has a cat. We love her.
Did you name it Jeter?
No, I didn't bring the cat. The cat the cat predates me, and her name is Zoe. She's wonderful.
Zoe the cat?
Zoe the cat. I think I mentioned that actually on a podcast before.
You might
have forgotten.
We don't pay attention to your personal life.
Kane from Detroit says, "Dear Robert, James, and Gregory."
Robert, James, and Gregory.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Next year, I'm going to be at the end of the 12-team draft. Which one guy do I keep? Gronk in the first round, Golden Tate in the fifth, or Rashad Jennings, Carlos Hyde, or Mike Wallace in the 10th?
Yeah, I think it's got to be Gronk. The only other consideration might be Hyde.
Yep.
Right, if he's the starter.
Right, if he's the no doubt about it starter in San Francisco. Yeah. Otherwise, it's Gronkaroo.
And still no idea who Robert, James, and Gregory are. But next one's Jason from Albany, New York. Dear Favre, Jordan, and Azer.
Nice.
That's pretty good.
Goats.
How do you handle...
guys who tried to retire but never
came back.
Oh, yeah.
How do you handle replacing owners in your keeper leagues given the competitive disadvantage new owners have? I have to replace four owners due to collusion this season. I fear we'll have to start over on keepers to make it fair. We've discussed allowing new owners to keep players from old teams or allowing new owners to keep up to three waiver wire free agents for 6th, 7th, and 8th round picks. Owners in the league can keep three players with cost appreciating two picks each season. Any suggestions?
The one thing I would consider doing, and you'd have to get everybody who's already in the league to buy into this, is to do an expansion draft where everybody who's got a team can cover two players, and those are their two keepers, and then the new teams can pick from the players that they didn't keep.
Why can't they just take over their other...
Well, they kicked four guys out for collusion, so I imagine the rosters are a little unfair. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so could they do a draft from those four rosters?
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's probably the best way to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I assume that these rosters aren't loaded with jabronis, that there's got to be at least eight good players over the four rosters.
No, you have to have 12, though. They keep three.
Okay.
There should be 12 rosters.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe they only keep two.
It's a good idea. Tony from San Jose, California. Hello, Junior Floyd, Kevin O'Shea, and the Icebox.
I feel like I should know this.
You should know this. It's a classic football movie. Little Giants, everybody. Little Giants. Keeper question. One keeper per team. Should I keep Jamal Charles in round one or Emmanuel Sanders in round seven?
Probably Charles in round one.
No, he's picking third. So you have a chance to get still a stud.
Sanders,
everybody
seven.
Can, yeah, only one keeper per team, so there's going to be somebody there.
So
yeah,
Sanders,
sure. I guess.
Might be able to draft Charles.
Probably not, because he's going to go probably one or two, even with this. But you might. I mean, you still certainly could.
From Corey, where's he from?
Lexington, Kentucky.
Hey, Jameis, Leonard, and Randy.
Seminoles.
Who are the other guys?
Oh, no, top three picks in the draft.
Oh, yeah, Leonard Williams and Randy Gregory. Keeper question. I'm not sure they'll be the top three, though.
Yeah, I agree.
Keepers can be kept indefinitely losing the round they were drafted in. 6-point passing touchdowns. Pick two. Aaron Rodgers in the first. Eddie Lacy in the third. T.Y. Hilton in the fourth. Terrence West in the sixth, Mike Evans in the eighth, and DeAndre Hopkins in the 13th.
Lacy's a no-brainer.
Yep. Lacy in the third.
And then maybe Mike Evans.
In the eighth round?
What about Hopkins in the 13th?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's probably not that much drop-off from Evans to Hopkins.
Yeah. I think I might rather have Evans.
I'd rather have Evans too, but I'd rather have Hopkins five rounds later.
What's the difference that late in a draft? There's minimal difference there. I'll say Mike Evans.
I'll take Hopkins.
And last one, Brad, from a warm location near Florida's Gulf Coast.
Let's go with Mobile, Alabama.
He says, dear Liberty, Taco, and Le'Veon.
Bells.
They are bells. I'm a teacher, and I have a multiple choice question for you guys. These count as your last round picks. Which would you choose? A, Lacy for 2 years and Beckham for 3 years. B, Lacy for 1 year, Graham for 1 year, and Beckham for 3 years.
That's better.
C, Lacy for 2 years, Beckham for 2 years, Graham for one. D, Lacy for 3 years and Beckham for 2 years. Or E, none of the above and make a different combo with five contract years involving two or three of those players.
So that's interesting. So your league lets you count keepers based on how many years you plan on keeping them for?
Well, he's got a combination of 5 years of Lacy, Beckham, and Graham for 5 years, and you can do whatever you want with it.
Whew. I may go Lacy for one.
And then the others for two?
Yeah.
I was thinking that, too.
The one thing that option C is intriguing is that if Breeze is done after this year and he's trending in the wrong direction, how good is Jimmy Graham with another quarterback?
And option C is Lacy for two, Beckham for two, and Graham for one.
Right. So I may go option C, just make sure I get Graham another elite year, and then Lacy should have two more good years, and Beckham should be great.
I might like option B, which is Lacy for 1 year, Graham for one, and Beckham for three.
I'm going with option B, kicking your butt and taking $200. Come on, you losers.
Where is that from?
Oh, a counteroffer. See, I'm a lawyer. That's what we lawyers call a counteroffer. It's my cousin Vinny.
Ah.
Yeah, come on. Come on, folks.
You ready to fight me yet, Yankee?
You and Belichick.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You're fine, but yeah, that's a good one. Good call, Jamie. At least you know what I'm talking about, sort of. Bill Belichick's the luckiest coach ever. Just kidding.
Let's recap.
Dave and Jamie are the best fantasy hosts ever, and I'll see you guys in a week.
Looking forward to it, buddy.
What's your first day here?
Wednesday.
Wednesday?
All right, good. So that'll be the day that we take off.
Do you hear Wednesday, Thursday, Friday?
And then the following Monday.
Man.
You're spending all sorts of time down here.
Can't wait. You know how cold it is?
Yeah, that's why we live in Florida.
Are you bringing the lovely lady?
No, I am not.
So no Zoe.
Zoe stays. That's it, guys. See you later. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Later.
Yeah. Bye.